Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the scripture lesson just read, taken from the epistle lesson of this past Sunday. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Dear Christian friends, good afternoon and welcome to the alumni reunion of Concordia Seminary 2008. We have come together this week for the purpose of reconnecting with one another and with our seminary, reconnecting with friends made during our college and seminary years, and with friends made during the course of our respective ministries, reconnecting also with the core values, mission, and vision that became part of our lives during our years of study here in this grace place. St. Louis is known as the Gateway City. For many of us, Concordia Seminary served as the gateway, if you will, to one of the most rewarding, exciting, and important vocations in all the world: the office of the holy ministry. My name is Robert Hayner. Last summer, after 35 years of service in parish and district staff ministries, I began serving here at Concordia as the Director of Placement and Alumni Relations. I personally had the privilege of passing through this gateway here at Concordia from 1968 to 1972. When I think of Concordia Seminary, I not only think about the classes I took or the relationships I had or the experiences I shared with my classmates and professors, I also think of the many doors that were opened for the love of God in Jesus Christ to touch lives and places all over the world. I think of Elmer Dahlke, laying on his hospital bed in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, knowing full well that a renewal of health was out of the question, but experiencing the compassion and love of God through the ministry of his pastor, hearing a message of hope and peace in Jesus Christ, and being assured of life eternal. I think of the family who had just lost a loved one from this life, being comforted with the assurance that their loved one is now experiencing life at its best in heaven, all by the grace of God, in and through Jesus Christ. I think of that little deaf boy in Ghana, West Africa, who comes to know Jesus Christ through the love and message of one of our missionaries to the deaf, a missionary supported by your mission offering and mine. I think of the person who has lived his life without God, but who has come to one of our congregations being brought by a friend, and there hears the gospel for the first time. God in his mercy grants saving faith, and today that person is living life like he's never lived before. All thanks be to God. I think of children and youth being nurtured in the faith through their participation and involvement in day school and parish education ministries, and how so many of them are today serving in the church as pastors, DCEs, deaconesses, missionaries, congregational leaders. Yes, the ministry of the church is the most important work in all the world. It is so important because through it, God is fulfilling his purpose to save and redeem his people, making people fit for life on earth and for eternal life in heaven. It is important because it impacts lives for eternity. You know as well as I do that when God determined to to rescue the world from sin, death, and the powers of hell. He chose to send his Son, Jesus, as Savior. The word Savior means rescuer. In order to have a rescuer come on the scene, you need a disaster. Recently, you and I have become all too familiar with disasters. On the news, we've seen cyclones, earthquakes, and tornadoes. And we've seen the lives of many, many people being severely affected. Almost immediately, rescuers appear on the scene, except in the case of Miramar, where rescuers didn't come. And that in and of itself became a worldwide crisis. Yes, today, rescuers are on the scene in many of these areas, helping victims cope with the crisis at hand. Yes, you and I have witnessed terrible disasters of late. And yet the disaster that God saw was far worse than you or I have ever witnessed. You see, God saw all of his people under a vicious attack of a supernatural liar and killer by the name of Satan. God chose to confront this evil by sending his one and only Son into our world. On that first Christmas night, God sent all of heaven down to our world to bring the good news. Tonight, in the city of Bethlehem, your rescuer has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And that little baby grew up to live an absolutely perfect life. From the beginning, he knew who he was, what he was supposed to be doing, and how his ministry would be seen by the Father. He carried out a ministry of love, mercy, and compassion. He not only touched people with healing and love, he also empowered his followers to tell the good news to others. He then allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, and there he suffered eternal punishment for every human being who would ever live. On Easter Sunday, he arose victorious from the grave, declaring victory over sin, death, and hell for you and for me. This is grace. And this is what Concordia Seminary is all about. Our devotional thoughts for this afternoon direct our attention to St. Paul's words in Romans 1:16, taken from Sunday's epistle lesson. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Back in Paul's day, there were many people who were ashamed of the gospel. They were ashamed of the gospel because of its main feature, the cross. To them, the cross was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. It was shameful because, you see, the cross was an instrument of death, an instrument of death for slaves, traitors, and the worst of criminals. People back then could not comprehend how a world Savior could possibly die on a cross. St. Paul, however, glorified in the cross, for it was there that salvation had been secured for him and for all people. As Paul proclaimed, "We preach Christ and him crucified." Paul became the greatest theologian, the greatest missionary the world has ever known, because God enabled him to see the majesty of the message of the cross. You and I also live in a culture that is embarrassed by the cross. But we've also been led to see, know, and proclaim the majesty, yes, the glory of the cross. Regularly and faithfully throughout our ministries, we've been privileged to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And we've been privileged and honored to witness the eternal impact the gospel has had on the lives of God's people. St. Paul was not only proud of the gospel, but he also says there's power in it. Now, perhaps it's strange to think that there should be power in mere words. But this is the case whenever words are so arranged to articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ. For instance, when words tell us that we are sinners and that as a result of our sins we deserve eternal punishment, but that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has made up for our sins through his sacrifice on Calvary, then there is power, power in those words, the power of God, the power to uplift, the power to improve, the power to change, the power to save a person to a constructive life on earth, to a positive, meaningful, worthwhile life on earth. Certainly, the gospel has had tremendous impact on the temporal lives of people throughout the world. But the greatest power possessed by the gospel is the power to save, the power to save a person not only from eternal death and hell, but to eternal life in heaven. One example of this power, of course, is St. Paul himself. But another example, just look in the mirror. You and I have allowed Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, and he has enabled us to not only become aware of our sins, but also to know, love, and serve our Savior. In Jesus Christ, we have found the mercy and love of God, not in or through ourselves, but in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, we are different people. We have a different outlook on life. We know that God loves us and loves all people. We know that we will never be separated from God. We know that in all things, God is working for good. And we know that God is with us now and that he'll be with us forever. For yet another example of the gospel power, I think of the alumni who are not with us this week, those who are in a much better place, those who are in heaven. Oh, if they could speak to us today, what a glorious, what a majestic gospel message they would share with us. When a message called the gospel of Christ is able to change a person like the Apostle Paul, like you or me, know that there is power within it. It is a message, therefore, of which we cannot be ashamed. As the poet says, ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fear to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain. Till then I'll boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. In this life, you and I have been privileged to know and proclaim the gospel, and in so doing, serve our Lord Jesus Christ. During this reunion, may this truth, above all others, give us reason to celebrate and praise our God. Amen.